Fidelity Beat. This is Disability Beat, a public affairs program for and about people with disabilities. It's about social justice, community supports, inclusion, accessibility, freedom, and choice. My name is Vicki Nicewander, and I'm the host of this program and also the parent of a fantastic young woman with a disability.
The views and opinions expressed here are those of the speakers and do not necessarily represent those of WEFT, its board of directors, associate station manager, or Prairie Air Incorporated.
Stay tuned for a pre-recorded interview with John Rutter of Community Choices on programs to connect people with disabilities to engage with the community. But first, disability news for the week of April 21st, 2025. Last week, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention released data showing that the estimated autism prevalence rate in the U.S. increased to 1 in 31 children, up from 1 in 36 from the last estimate in 2023. In response, HHS Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. called the new rate shocking and insisted that autism is preventable. He rejected the expert opinion that autism prevalence is increasing due to better awareness and diagnosis, and claimed his agency would be announcing studies to identify the environmental causes, the environmental toxins responsible. Kennedy previously said that he expects to know the cause of autism by September. Kennedy said, quote, autism destroys families. These are kids who will never pay taxes. They will never hold a job. They'll never play baseball. They'll never write a poem. They'll never go out on a date. Many of them will never use a toilet unassisted. And we have to recognize we are doing this to our children, and we need to put an end to it, end quote. The comments are creating concern in the autism community, which has advocated for awareness and acceptance. Leaders of several advocacy organizations put out a joint statement emphasizing that vaccines do not cause autism, that people with autism deserve respect and support, and that policy should be evidence-based. The statement made by the Autistic Self-Advocacy Network, the Autism Society of America, Autism Speaks, the ARC of the United States, the Autistic Women and Non-Binary Network, and the Autistic People of Color Fund said in part, quote, claims that autism is preventable is not supported by scientific consensus and perpetuates stigma. Language framing autism as a chronic disease, a childhood disease, or epidemic distorts public understanding and undermines respect for autistic people, end quote. In addition to the initial signers, the statement has been endorsed by more than two dozen other organizations. Special Olympics, an organization founded by Kennedy's aunt Eunice Shriver, also objected to his characterization of people with autism. A spokesperson said, quote, everyone has gifts and talents to celebrate. People with IDD are no different. They play sports, they attend schools, they go to work. We join the legions of others in their concern with how the autistic community is being portrayed. Meet our athletes, hear their stories, listen to how they are leading the way to a more inclusive and welcoming world, end quote. At the beginning of his administration, President Donald Trump signed an executive order that directed the removal of diversity, equity, and inclusion, which was a major setback to the disability rights movement. In just a few months, many changes have been implemented that have negatively affected people with disabilities. Sign language interpreters have disappeared from press briefings and from the White House YouTube channel, and the White House webpage on accessibility no longer works. With a focus on cutting diversity programs that benefit people with disabilities to staffing cuts at the Department of Veterans Affairs, the Trump administration has taken many actions that compromise those with impairments or chronic health conditions. Many gains made by disability advocates are being dismantled by cuts to federal programs, research funding, and a White House ban on practices that support diversity. Michael Rembus is the director of the Center for Disability Studies at State University of New York in Buffalo. Rembus says that some leaders of organizations that serve people with disabilities hesitate to publicly criticize the White House actions because of concerns their groups could become targeted by the administration, especially if they rely on federal funding or grants. Rembus said, quote, "The silencing of opposition is quite chilling. The denial of disabled people's humanity and their voice, as well as the actions against disabled people in terms of the removal or evisceration of core infrastructure, are directly related to the ableist language being used by the administration. It is all part of a larger fear and loathing of people who are unlike themselves," end quote. And finally, another story about the plight of people with disabilities seeking to leave institutional care in the 7 state-operated developmental centers here in Illinois was brought to light by an article in the Chicago Tribune last week. More than 200 residents, or about 15% of the total population of those facilities, want to find placements elsewhere, according to the Illinois Department of Human Services. 125 of those people have been on a waiting list for more than a year, some for several years. Kathy Carmody, CEO of the Institute on Public Policy for People, said that it is, quote, "the best evidence that there are structural challenges," end quote. Among the 50 states in the U.S., Illinois only trailed Texas in the number of people housed in institutions, according to an annual report from the University of Minnesota. According to department spokesperson Rachel Otwell, previous administrations, quote, "hollowed out state services. Home availability, the willingness of community providers to serve people with behavioral or medical needs, and a lack of support from guardians are a few of the issues." And that's the news for this week.
Lean on me when you're not strong, and I'll be your friend. I'll help you carry on, for it won't be long till I'm gonna need somebody to lean on. Please swallow your pride.
And you are tuned to WEFT Champaign 90.1 FM. This is Disability Beat. I'm Vicki Nicewander, joined today by John Rutter of Community Choices. Full disclosure, I was one of the original members of Community Choices and was the first board chair of that organization for about 5 years or so. So it's a pleasure to see you all doing so well and prospering and providing great services to people in the community. Thanks for joining me, John.
Well, thank you for having me.
So why don't we start out by introduce yourself. How did you get in this position? Kind of what's your background and what exactly do you do?
That's a good question. For my background, I've worked in disability services for around like 15, 16 years. I'm kind of showing my age there a little bit. And I've worked a bunch of different positions at a lot of different agencies. You know, I've worked residential. I've worked in day trainings, employment. I do have a lot of experience working in employment. And I've been with Community Choices now for about 6.5, 7 years. And my current job position is I kind of straddle the line a little bit. I work, mm-hmm. I'm an employment specialist. So I'm in our employment department. And also I am a social coach in our Connect department. So kind of in between departments there, I get to do a little bit of everything. And that's kind of where I'm at with Community Choices.
Yeah. So what other kinds of jobs did you have in disability services early on? How did you get started?
Early on, my first job was, and this was like straight out of college, was a team leader for a group home, which was not a great job for somebody fresh out of college that hadn't had any disability experience before. It would have been a great job for somebody that had been working in the house and had experience, but I came in, was new and fresh. It wasn't great, but I've spent a lot of times like a QIDP. I've been that at a few different agencies, employment coordinator, specialist, whatever you want to call it. I've done that quite a bit too. I will say Community Choices is the first place that I've ever actually gotten to work specifically with helping folks find connections in the community. So that's kind of cool.
That is cool. And you know, a lot of that experience, I'm sure, serves you well now, just knowing what the good way of doing things is and what's the not so good way of doing things. So there's that. So talk to us a little bit about the community coaching. Social coaching, is that what you said it was?
I go back and forth. It's like, my position is social coach.
Okay.
The program itself is called community coaching. Yeah, like you can use them interchangeably pretty much. Community coaching, what it is it's a program that kind of encompasses everything that we try and do in our Connect department, which I kind of mentioned before was our department that works on connecting our members with disability to the community, to each other, just so they can have a really rich, fulfilling life. You know, we have our employment department, which focuses on employment. We have inclusive community supports department, which focuses on like the daily skills of living. So this is kind of everything else, you know, the fun stuff, if you will.
Yeah, but I think it might be helpful for people to know a little bit about how the services that Community Choices provides is different from some of the other approaches that other agencies might take. So let's take employment, for instance. Mm-hmm. And since you've been there for, what did you say, 7 or 8 years, something like that?
Six or seven years.
That you probably are pretty familiar with all of those. And in a typical agency, it's been my experience that people maybe get put in a day program or a sheltered workshop, or if they're able to survive in a job without any kinds of supports at all, then they end up maybe having an actual job. Is Community Choices different from that?
Yeah. So our employment department, we focus on what we call customized employment, which is, we do have people that come to us and are very much job ready, and they want to have that job that they see advertised in the newspaper, that, you know, which would be competitive employment. But a lot of the folks that we help come to us and, you know, maybe they only want 2 hours a day, 3 hours a day, and maybe their skill set right now is only, you know, they're not able to do a whole bunch of different things. Maybe they're just really good at one thing. So what we try to do is we try to, you know, discover those skills and match them up with employers, so that way, you know, the person has a great experience and the employer has a really great experience. You know, they have somebody working for them that becomes a really important member of the team.
There are a lot of advantages to having a person with disabilities as an employee, right?
That
you promote quite a bit, I'm sure.
Oh, of course, definitely.
Yeah, and so then the other program is you have a housing. It's not called that. What's your program called?
No, it's called Inclusive Community Supports.
Mm-hmm.
And what that program is, it's a little bit more of what I think what people would recognize kind of as case management. It's a little bit more intensive case management. It's where we can help individuals that are, you know, looking to maybe eventually move out on their own or independently, or want to get a little bit more independent on their day-to-day, like, you know, life skills. We can come in and we can help out with that. So I'm trying to think of some of the stuff we can do.
Yeah, that would be good to have some examples.
Like, I know, you know, we can go in and we can help with like medication if somebody needs help, you know, like scheduling their medications and like, you know, how to set that up. We can do that. You know, I know one of my coworkers currently is working with somebody on kind of just fixing up their house and, you know, doing basic home repairs, things like that. If somebody is looking to, you know, like maybe they want to make more meals at home, you know, we can help with that. We can help with them go grocery shopping, kind of figure out like how do you look for ingredients? How do you look for all the different things that you need for that? And then also, like, once they get that, you know, actually putting it together, you know, like, you know, making sure you know what julienne means, which, you know, I'd probably have to look up too. So
I might too.
Yeah. But yeah, just basically things like that, and kind of like whatever you can like think of that you might need, like there's probably something we can do to help that along.
Yeah. And you do offer some group classes as well, mm-hmm. correct?
Yeah.
What's happening with that right now?
Right now we actually have a community safety class going on. Mm-hmm. Which I am a part of. And that's going really great. It's just kind of helping people. And that's something that through our community coaching, we've kind of identified as a greater need because, you know, getting out in the community is kind of scary sometimes. There's a lot of unknowns and, you know, like what happens if, you know, this happens? And so one of the classes, we kind of sit down and figure out what classes would be beneficial to have. And we decided that community safety would be something that would be good for our members, that would help them out and help them be a little bit more, get out in the community a little bit more.
Mm-hmm. And how does that work exactly when you're teaching a class like that to a group of people with disabilities who maybe don't understand language as they do, as much as they do demonstration? Do you use a lot of demonstration and role playing in a situation like that?
Yeah, definitely. last week, in fact, our last class, we rode the bus, and it was actually my first time riding the bus too, which I'm not going to lie was kind of fun. Like, I actually quite enjoyed it. So, you know, just, and we went to Lincoln Mall for like 15 minutes, you know, enough to kind of like walk around, maybe use the bathroom and then get back on the bus. But it was just nice because it kind of like demystified it a little bit. Cause mm-hmm. it's one thing when you're talking about the bus. And like, again, you know, people might get this vision in their head of like, oh, it's like all these scary people and people I don't know, and I don't know what's going to happen. And do I pull
what
the
cord? What if I miss my stop?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like all that. But yeah, no, getting on it and actually doing it, you're kind of like, oh, well, I can do that.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah.
Yeah. So what are we missing? We've got the community, or we'll talk about the more community coaching in a minute. Is there a social aspect to community choices as well?
Yes. Yes, there is. That actually falls in the Connect department too. So we have mm-hmm. our social opportunities, which I think if you were to ask our members, like, what does community choices do? Like, that's where they would really.
Yeah, it's the lunch out and the dinner
the
out.
The lunches and the dinners, our members love to eat, as do I, so it's great.
It works.
Yeah, it does, definitely. So those are kind of the opportunities for people to get out and experience the community because we, you know, go to as many different spots as we can. You know, we're trying to every once in a while kind of throw in a restaurant maybe that you haven't been to. I know like tomorrow actually we're going to Himalayan Chimney.
No, so, that yeah. will be interesting
yeah.
for some folks.
I'm excited for it. I haven't been there. So
yeah.
You know, we try to do that, kind of expand you know, the expand your reach a little bit. Just going out to community events to be, you know, just a part of the inclusive community. And do things and get people used to that. And also it's a great place for our members to kind of meet each other and meet people where, cause you know, in order to make connections, you have to have that initial, like, you know, opportunity to make connections.
Absolutely. So, if you're not there, you can't make a connection.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yep. So, and there also something that's really different about community choices is that you have an active parent group, actually a couple of active parent groups.
Mm-hmm.
And so talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, so we do have our parent support group, which is really great because it's something that I think, you know, a lot of times parents, and, you know, you can speak to this too, I'm sure, you just kind of want to, like, let your hair down a little bit and not have to feel like, you know, like, okay, I have to be, you know, on point here and I have to be able to get my, you know, get what my needs across perfectly. And you just kind of want to vent and talk to other people and be like, yeah, this is kind of what I'm feeling right now. Like, is that what you're feeling? Like, oh, it is cool. Like, that's yeah. great. So, yeah, we have our parent support group that meets, Monthly?
Is it every other? I forget.
I don't know. I think it's monthly. And we've been doing it at Triptych, which is also fun. I think it's a really great thing for parents to just be able to kind of, you know, get away from the, you know, that constant need to, like, you know, be on top of things and to continually advocate and just be like, you know, take a deep breath and be like, all right, I'm going to relax. I'm going to relax with other people that, you know, are in a similar situation to me and just make friends, make connections, and, you know, meet people.
So. And if you've never been involved with a parent support group as a family member of a person with a disability, you don't know what you're missing. Yeah. It is so good to talk to people who are where you are, mm-hmm. who know, have experienced some of the same things that you have. So, yeah, I heartily endorse it. And it is not a typical thing for an agency to provide that parent support group because they're often afraid that the parents are going to get together and complain about the agency. I don't think you guys worry about that. You shouldn't have to.
No. Well, I mean, the last time the parents got together, we became an agency. So
yeah, that's true. I was one of them. So yeah, I know that. Okay. Let's talk in detail now about the Connect program because the coaching program specifically. If I have a adult child, mm-hmm. which I do, mm-hmm. who's interested in participating. How do they get started in that? How does it work?
Yeah, so to get started, you would have to first become a member of Community Choices, mm-hmm. which is super easy. You would just contact basically anybody in the office. We'll get you to the right person.
And there's a very small registration fee that we really can't talk about on air, but there is something. And I think you also have scholarships for people who are not able to afford that.
Definitely. It's definitely not something that's keeping the lights on for us. So like if that's an issue, like no problem with mm-hmm. it. You would just come in for an intake, just to become a member, which is a lot of, you know, signing forms, which
paperwork,
signing forms. But and once you became a member, the next step would be to contact somebody in our Connect department, which would be me, Morella, Huli, whoever, and just say like, hey, I'm interested in this program. So right now we try to run it quarterly. We're kind of a little bit off that schedule. I haven't started on the new bunch of people I'm working with yet. So, once you say that you're interested, you know, we can find somebody for you to work with, assuming that we have enough capacity. Otherwise, you know, we put you on a waiting list where, like, first chance we get, we're going to start working with you.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, that's it.
So give me an example of a person that you've worked with and how the community coaching worked for that individual. And of course we can't use names.
Right.
But,
right.
Yeah.
Let's see. I'm trying to think. I've done so many at this point.
I know. You can just mush them all together and give us lots of examples.
Right. So I had one person who it was actually kind of interesting. And this is, it's a person that I used as a success story in the presentation I gave for the, at the art convention.
Mm-hmm.
And that was like, initially they came in and their idea was, well, there's a group of my friends that, get coffee every couple of weeks. Like I haven't been able to attend or like I have trouble attending. I want to be able to attend that on a regular basis. So what that looked like through coaching was, you know, the first thing we do is kind of like, all right, well, like what's stopping you right now? And when we sat down and, you know, I looked at the situation with the person, the big thing was driving. So driving made them nervous. The coffee house was at a busy intersection. And yeah, that was just, you know, the anxiety when it came time to go was just too much. So it's mm-hmm. like, okay, well, let's work on that. So I actually went, I had them drive me from their house to the coffee place. And I found out that, like, they're actually a really great driver. Mm-hmm. And the problem was the parking lot because there are no rules in the parking lot. You know, it's a free for all.
Oh boy.
So yeah, and that was the issue, was just kind of like, where do I park? And the parking lot associated with the coffee house was kind of was busy and hard to get in and out of. So there was luckily another parking a parking lot for a hotel nearby that everyone parks in. So I had to, you know, had them park there, and mm-hmm. I'm like, it's okay, trust me. You're like, you're not breaking any rules, like the hotel doesn't care. And it helped that actually when we parked, somebody else had parked next to us and then walked to the coffee place. So I'm like,
who was in the group? Yeah.
Well, no, they weren't even in the group. It was just some random person. And I'm like, see, they're doing it. That's great.
It's fine.
Yeah. And, you know, we worked that out. And I'm thinking like, oh, we're doing great. But actually, the more that we got into it, like that wasn't the issue. The issue was they liked hanging out with their friends, but hanging out with a bunch of their friends at the same time just felt too much.
Mm-hmm.
So we shifted gears. Like, all right, that's not working for you. So how about we hang out with your friends one at a time? So that's what we started working on. We worked on, you know, texting one of the friends from the group just to say hi and maybe say like, do you want to go grab lunch? Like that really didn't work just because, you know, the other person was not much of a texter, which happens.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm like, well, maybe we can move on to another friend. And he mentioned a friend that he hadn't really talked to in a while. I'm like, give him a text, see what happens. And he actually came in the next week and was like, I'm like, so how'd it go? Did you text him? And he's like, oh yeah, we got like lunch like last Wednesday. And I was just like, well, that's great.
Yeah. So then they can take off and start making those arrangements on their own. And you are not necessarily having to be there to provide mm-hmm. that ongoing support.
Yeah, that's a big, big part of the program is I think we always try to keep that in mind that, you know, we're not always going to be here. I mean, hopefully we are, you know, hopefully we're here to support and help, but there might come a time where like this program doesn't exist or like Community Choices doesn't exist. Again,
well, there will always be those people out there who need that initial help to get started.
Yeah,
so that's,
yeah. Yeah, and that's kind of what it is. We want to get you started, but we're not going to do it for you. We mm-hmm. want you to be the one to take initiative and to really start to do it. And because like once you can do it for yourself, like you don't have to worry about us. You don't have to call me up and say like, "Hey John, like can I like invite my friend out to lunch this Thursday?" You can just do it.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly right. So, you know, just talking about driving, you reminded me that there's another program
mm-hmm.
at Community Choices that we haven't talked about.
Oh, yeah.
The transportation program, which is a really, in my opinion, cutting edge kind of a thing. Talk a little bit about that and how it works.
Yeah. So our transportation department is, we give people a limited number of rides. I think we're at 12? Not 100%.
A small number of rides per month.
Yeah. And it's designed for, again, it's a department that's kind of like housed within Connect because the whole purpose of it is to get people out and involved into the community. So, you know, for people that maybe transportation was a barrier for before, like, well, geez, I really love to go to the mall and hang out with my friends, but I can't make it there. And like, I'm not really great on the bus and like Uber
or
Lyft.
Or the bus doesn't come to my
right.
apartment.
Exactly.
Where,
yeah. And like Uber Lyft might be too expensive. Like this is a way to kind of supplement that a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you can, and also like there's a lot of people that, again, like Uber and Lyft is kind of scary because it's a person that you don't know that's coming to pick you up.
Yeah.
So this was kind of a way our transportation department was kind of designed to be that first step into getting used to being out and going places. And, you know, maybe this would be, you know, after a while, after using our transportation for a while, like maybe you feel better using a Lyft or an Uber, you know,
or a bus.
And also it gives you that drive to, because now you have a place that you want to be because you've gotten to experience that, you've been there before. And now you're like, well, you know, like I'm out of rides, but I still want to go. Like maybe I can try the bus.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's not just Champaign Urbana. It is every place in the county. Am I correct?
Yeah. Champaign County.
Mm-hmm. Champaign County. So, all right. Well, we're almost out of time, but I do want you to give the contact information for anybody who's interested possibly in joining Community Choices and getting some services that sound good to them.
Sure. I think the best place to go would be our website which is communitychoicesinc.org.
Mm-hmm.
And on there we have a contact page where you can email us, which I think the email is info@communitychoicesinc.org. Our phone number's on there, which I do not have memorized.
Thank you so much for joining me today, John Rutter of